Praise God. It's so wonderful to be here. It's so wonderful to see every one of you, not just at Statewide, but also here at Youth Service. Thank you guys so much for the invitation. Some of our youth join as well, so we're happy to be here. I wanted to start with, He is risen. He is risen. Let's do the traditional. Christos Voskres. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You know, I heard this once and I want to repeat it tonight. You know, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. And if our greatest need had been money, God would have probably sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But since our greatest need was forgiveness of our sins, God sent us what? A savior. And that savior is Jesus. Praise God for that. You know, and something happens when we are, when our names are written in the book of life. Something happens when our garments are, when we get our garments under the blood of the Lamb. And that's what Easter is. It's a story of us getting ourselves under the blood. Getting under the blood. You know, as believers, we are all given a royal robe of righteousness. And I will read a few verses here, but Jesus clothes us, when we become believers, He clothes us with a robe of righteousness, a garment of righteousness. And this garment is clean. This garment is pure. This garment is white. This garment is perfect. And it's something that we don't get by our own will. We don't get by our own decisions, or it's not something that we work for. It's something that, just like this image, Jesus places it on us. And here's what the Bible says. This is from the Old Testament. Here's what prophet Isaiah says. I am over... Now, this just a color contest. Isaiah, how many of you guys have read Isaiah? Okay, good. So, if you remember Isaiah, he's a prophet, and he speaks a lot of... Not quite like Jeremiah, but he speaks a lot of heavy things, right? So in the very beginning, it's a lot of judgments on different nations. It's mostly judgments really on Israel for its backsliding and going astray from God. And then it has just 66 chapters. And when it reaches to about 60 and all the way to 66, it's a message of hope. And in fact, Isaiah chapter 61, you know, imagine this, for 60 chapters being just Bible thumping at you, right? Just throwing Bibles at you and saying, you repent, repent, repent. And then chapter 61 is a message of hope. And in fact, this chapter is called the year of the Lord's favor. And it starts with the spirit of the, remember Jesus in the New Testament says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has called me, right? And this is the chapter. And so we get to verse 10, and this is where he talks about this royal robe of righteousness that God has given to us as a result of our salvation. And so I'll be reading. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he, meaning God, has dressed me or clothed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. Oh, how wonderful must it have been for us, it is for us to be clothed with this robe of righteousness where our nakedness used to be exposed. Our sin issue was been shown and exposed, and it was ugly, right? That's as a result of the Garden of Eden. We were naked, and God, Jesus, has come upon us. He has clothed us with a robe of righteousness, with a garment of righteousness. You know, and what's interesting is, I don't know if you guys, but I looked to myself when I read this, and I'm like, hold on. But doesn't it often happen that this perfect, beautiful, unsoiled, unspotted garment, it gets dirty? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes we fall. Sometimes we mess, especially us as young people. We make a lot of mistakes. Let's just be honest, right? We try a lot of things. We do things that we're not supposed to. And so this, what happens to this robe? Does it get dirty? How can we get it clean? And this is where the blood of Jesus comes into play or into perspective. The blood of Jesus is able to wash this robe. Now I want to go to the last verse or the last chapter in the book of the Bible. You know, after we know what happens in the beginning, we know what happens in the middle, we know what happens at the end. And here's what the Spirit of God, I believe Jesus, says this to the church. Blessed are those who do what? Wash their what? robes, this robes that we are given, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and they may enter into the gates. Blessed are those whose robes are washed in the blood. And I want to read one more verse that kind of confirms this. Now, the context is a little bit different. It's still in Revelation, but this talks about the people in the Great Tribulation. Now, I don't believe we're in tribulation yet. We're definitely not going through the Great Tribulation, but we can learn something from them. This verse that I'm going to read next, it's about the people that went through the Great Tribulation and how they overcame it. And I believe that if they are able to overcome through the tribulation period this way, then certainly you and I today, who are going through different battles, who are going through different issues and things in our lives, surely we can overcome in a very similar way. Let's read it. Then one of the elders addressed me, this is John, saying, "Who are these clothes in white robes, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation." Now, this is about them, but how do they overcome? "They have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb." Isn't that beautiful? So that's kind of a picture of what Easter did for you and I. That's what Easter did, is it provided this blood of the Lamb, where we can get under the blood of the Lamb today. And even if you've fallen, if you've sinned, now this doesn't give us an excuse to sin. Certainly doesn't give us an excuse to sin. But this gives us hope today. And for a young generation, especially for many people, we're living in this world where there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of evil. There is hope for us that when we get under the blood of the Lamb, we are able to overcome. We are able to be victorious. And so that's going to be my call for us today. Get under the blood. As a result of this Easter, this is something I've been thinking about. Get under the blood. Get under the blood. Get your garments washed white as snow under the blood of Jesus. And dear church, dear young people, this is something that we must believe in. I believe that the blood of Jesus today still has power to work. Do you guys believe that? You guys believe that truly or not? If you don't, make sure you study that. Make sure you start believing it. You better believe it, because that's the only way. When trouble comes, when you fall, when you do certain things in your life that goes astray, the only way we can overcome is getting ourselves under the blood of Jesus. Here's something that startled me this past Easter, and I just wanted to share some headlines. You know, there are some churches who want to make it more inviting and more attractive for unbelievers to come to church. And so they started to remove the word resurrection out of Easter invitations. They started saying things like, it's not necessary to say Calvary anymore because it's offensive, or get under the blood of the Lamb. It's not necessary because it's offensive to people, right? And instead they started supplementing with Easter egg hunts, with Easter shows and Easter plays and all these crazy displays and all that, right? And that's a great show. And the thing that probably put a nail on the coffin was when our home president came out and started to, now I know they came back and said that, oh, every 31st of March we say this thing, but no, I believe they did this on purpose, where, a few hours before they talked about Easter, and then a few hours after said it's the same thing, we're affirming on the day of Easter, we're affirming sin, right? How can clean water come out of the same mouth that where dirty water comes out of, right? Where you're saying Jesus came to wash us of our sins, and then we're affirming the sins of what people want to do. They can do whatever they want. The shame and the deception of so many. You see, it's because of the Resurrection Sunday that we could go to Calvary to wash us of our sins by the blood of the Lamb. How can we take resurrection out of Easter? How can we not talk about Calvary? How can we not speak about the despising and the shame that Jesus went? The Bible calls him a man of sorrows, not a man of happiness and dancing. He's a man of sorrows. Jesus is. And he did that to spill his blood for you and I. How can we take that out of our faith? We can't. And that's why I go, That there's still power in the blood of the Lamb. There is still power in the blood of Jesus. The same God who was yesterday, today, He's still working today. The same Jesus that died 2,000 years ago, He's still there today interceding on behalf of you and I on the right hand of the Father. Oh, give praise to God for that. Here's what the Bible says. Realize that you were not set from the worthless life handed down to you from your ancestors by a payment of silver and gold which can be destroyed. So in other words, Apostle Peter, he's saying you weren't bought by money. God didn't come and say, you know what, I could just pay some money and buy you. No, but rather the payment that freed you was the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb with no defects or imperfections. The blood of Jesus was the payment. So what happened was God didn't just value us equivalent to just dollars and cents, right? Just silver, gold, or maybe some millions of dollars. But He valued us with His own Son, which is priceless. He's fully God and fully man. And He valued our salvation with His Son. With the blood of His Son. How wonderful that is. And in the Old Testament, we get a beautiful portrait of the blood, of this blood, of the power of this blood, of being covered by the blood. So the first time that the Passover happened was in the Old Testament. Do you guys remember who it happened with? Who? The Passover, you guys remember that? Moses, right? It was Moses, right? And do you guys remember where they were at? Egypt, right? Do you guys remember what they were going through? The what? Plagues, right? They were going through the 10 plagues. And the very last plague, what was going to happen? Who remembers? The firstborn child was going to die unless what? You were covered by the blood. Do you guys remember that, right? That's, God said, this is it. This is the last plague and you're going to get out of Egypt. But this says the Lord would walk through the land and would destroy anybody who disobeyed the word of God. And the word of God was very simple. The word of God was very simple. And I love this portrait that happened in the Old Testament and is being fulfilled in the New Testament. It says, you must slaughter a lamb that is without defect, that is perfect, that is blameless. You must slaughter it. And that you would take the blood, dip it in hyssop, which is kind of like a plant, and put it over your doorposts and the doorposts on the top and the sides, put it over. And that day, you're supposed to be in the house and you're supposed to eat of that lamb. Did you guys catch that? You're supposed to be in the house that's covered by the blood, and you're supposed to eat of the flesh of the blood. What is happening today? We are covered by the blood of the Lamb, and when we're in the house, or we're part of the church, what can we eat of? The body and the blood of the Lamb. This is the first Passover that happened, and this was a portrait of for us today. And this, what would happen with us? We would have life. If we were in the house, if we were eating of the lamb, if our house was covered with blood, people would be spared. Church, young people, this is the same thing today. For you and I to have life, we must be covered with the blood of the Lamb. For you and I to have life, we have to get under the blood of the Lamb. We must kind of grow in our faith, get baptized, start taking communion, take of the elements, take of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way that you and I could have life. Get under the blood of the Lamb. There's this beautiful song that's called, "Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the what? Blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, young people, this is the heart of my message. That we would just get covered by the blood of the Lamb. That we might be zealous about the blood of Jesus. That we might get under, when something happens in our life, that we would run
to the place where Jesus is. Run to get covered by the blood of the Lamb. I believe it's better than medicine. Now, I have nothing against doctors. I have nothing against medicine. We take medicine, right? But it's better than a vaccine. It's better than medicine. It's better than therapy or a strong immunity over our sickness. The blood of Jesus makes us a new creation. It gives us our identity in Christ. It gives us victory over our sin, victory over your sin, and over our temptations. Let us get under the blood. Now, the question that in the next few moments I want to try to answer is, okay, Michael, let's get under the blood. Now, how do we do that? How do we get under the blood of the Lamb? And what happens when we get under the blood of the Lamb? You guys ready for that? How? How do I do that? Practically. I understand that maybe I have to take baptism, start taking communion. But how? Well, the Bible gives us a few descriptions. There's a lot of I could go through, but I'm just going to go through three different ways how we could get under the blood, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And what will happen when we do so? The Bible tells us this. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from some sins, right? From all sins. From all sins. Now, what's the key point there? How? Walk in the light. The first thing that Apostle John tells here is when we walk in the light as he is in the light, he covers us and he forgives us of all of our sin. Walking in the light means walking in the truth. Walking in the light means walking in Christ. Walking as Christ, as Christ walked. And what happens is it cleanses us from all of our sins. That means we're totally forgiven. You see, walking in the light. How many of you guys saw the solar eclipse yesterday? We on our phones, right? We unfortunately, it didn't. So in 2017, we had the solar eclipse, and that I think we were able to see a lot more. There was more coverage. But this year, we had 30%. But you probably saw it on social media, right? So what happened when the solar eclipse came? The moon came, and it what? Covered the sun for 30, 40, whatever minutes, or maybe less. Probably, well, fully, 100% coverage was probably like 4 minutes. But then what happened? When the sun was covered, what happened in the middle of the day? It became very, very hazy. I remember 27 when this happened. It became like a weird, you get weird feelings as if it's about to rain, but it's not going to rain. It's not raining. And as from Instagram, I saw this. It was the same thing that was happening from the people in Texas and all that. It became kind of night, not night, you can still see, but sort of hazy and as if it was sun down or sunrise in the middle of the day, and it became what? Cold, right? It became dark and it became cold in the middle of the day. Well, here's the deal. Just like the sun exposes, the darkness, so does the sun, Jesus, the light, expose our darkness within us. Just like the sun, what it does is it makes, when it's covered, it makes us cold. It makes us, we won't run to the heat. So does the sun, the light, give us the heat. It gives us the power. It gives us the strength. It gives us the wisdom. It makes us do the right thing, right? And so the Bible calls us walk in the light. How can you and I get covered by the blood of the Lamb? Walk in the light. Now, walk in the light is a very deep thought, but I'm just going to go over it very quickly. Walking in the light means walking in the truth. It means if your relationship is not right with God, get right with God. It means make that first step. Go to Jesus. Jesus is not going to force his way in. He's going to sit there and knock at your door. He's going to knock on my door. And it's so important that we open and he could come in and dine with us. And so if that hasn't happened to your life yet, please do that. That's the first step. But then it continues. There's a lot more. And it's ministry. It's serving. It's knowing God. It's the truth, right? It's getting to know this truth. You know, so many young people can't overcome today. They don't know the truth. The Bible says the truth will set us free. Not our wisdom, not our knowledge, not our strength will set us free. The truth will set us free. And all of us are in bondage and weakness. A lot of us fall in temptations. A lot of us we get hurt by different things because we don't know the truth. We don't know the light. We're not walking in the light. Now I'm speaking to myself first and foremost. But let's analyze our life. Are we walking in the light? That's the very first thing. And God promises that He will forgive us of all of our sin. Isn't that comforting? That all of our sins could be totally forgiven. Hallelujah. And we receive freedom from our sins. You know what totally forgiveness means? It means He forgives our sin. And the Bible says He erases or He forgets our sin. He blots them out of the of whatever written document He has in heaven. And He forgives us. And how can He wash us like that? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians says this, through the blood of Jesus, we are set free from our sins. Through the blood of Jesus. So let us start walking in the light. Amen? Let us start walking in the light. It's only going to help us. The second thing is, this Bible says, Ephesians, but now you have been united with Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. And so the question is, how can we get under the blood of the Lamb and what happens? Well, the Bible tells us that draw near to Jesus. So the first thing is walk in the light, but the second thing is draw near to Jesus and get united with Christ. Draw near to Jesus and get united with Christ. Here's what another place the Bible says. My friends, the blood of Jesus gives us courage to enter the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, by a new way that leads to life. And this way takes us through the curtain that is Christ Himself. We have a great high priest who is in charge of God's house. So let's come near God with pure hearts and a conscience that comes from having faith. Let's keep our faith, our hearts pure, our consciences free from evil, and our bodies washed with clean water, which a lot of theologians say clean water, that's getting baptized. But when we're baptized in Christ. And so technically getting washed with clean water is getting washed by Christ. So in other words, what is the Bible saying? What does it mean to draw near to Christ and to be united with Christ? Remember Jesus says this, I am the vine and you are the what? Branches. Just like the branches cannot survive without the vine, right? You snap a branch off in a few days, it's going to wither away and die. Right? The branches, we are the branches. And for us to survive, we must be tied in. Be united with the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Just like plants, what do plants need to grow? Water and sun. Water and sun. Just like the plants need water and sun to not wither, but to survive. So do you and I need to be connected to the source, which is the sun, which is water, which is the Holy Spirit, right? That's how we are united with Christ. And that's what happens is, we are needed to stay connected. Now, how do we stay connected with Christ? The fact that you're here is a testimony of staying connected to the body of Christ. But it goes deeper. When Christ calls you and I to do something, are we doing it or are we ignoring it? Am I doing it or am I ignoring it? I don't know if you guys ever have urges to read the Word of God. Do I open the Word of God and read it or do I ignore it? I'm like, I'll just do it before I fall asleep. And then it's a great medicine to fall asleep, right? Are we doing it or are we ignoring it? If the Bible, or if the Word, or maybe God, the Holy Spirit, is telling you or conscious, don't do that, my son, my daughter. Don't go watch those things on that website. Maybe get rid of this addiction, this game that you've been playing, just stop doing it. Or this friend that you should probably stop acting in this certain way, stop doing that. And I'm like, I'll do it someday. Drawing near to God means drawing near to God. And He's going to tell us to get rid of some things. And we're going to have to get rid of them. Because that's the way. That is the way. That is how we get under the blood. That is what happens when Jesus washes us. And God promises to make us whole. God promises to purify our hearts, our conscience, and our bodies. And then we grow in confidence and we become courageous to draw nearer to God. We become encouraged to draw nearer to God. It helps us to grow in our faith. And so, young people, let us draw near and be united to Jesus today. And the last point. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve or worship the living God? So the third thing is, how and what can happens? How can I get under the blood of the Lamb? Serve Christ by doing good works. Where the Bible says living works, right? Serve Christ by doing good works. You see, what happens is, the Bible says to stop things, stop doing behaviors or acts that lead to death. Acts that lead to death, these are sinful behavior that leads to death. Literally, it is. You see, our sins make us guilty. It scars our conscience. And so, as soon as we start sinning, we fear to do something that God calls us to do because that sin is in the way. I don't know if you guys ever had that. But oftentimes I'm like, I can't minister today because I'm sinful, because I did this or that and that, right? And so Jesus, God's saying, stop doing the things, the acts that lead to death. And so these things that lead to death, they scar our guilt, they bring shame, they bring fear, they bring a lack of faith, and they cloud our judgment. They cloud our judgment. We don't know what to do. The things that we want to do, we can't do because of our sin. The things that we should be doing, we don't do because of our sin. And God promises that he can wash us. And I love that it says this in the verse, and I'm going to go back to it. It says this, cleanse us of our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may not just sit there idle, but we may do what? Serve God. So that we may worship the living God. You see, when God calls us, when God cleanses us, he washes us and doesn't let us just sit there. Doesn't let us just sit there idle. But he wants us to do something for him. And these are good works that help us. These are good works that praise God and worship God. You see, and it is then that when we serve a living God, it is then that we would encounter a God who fights for us, who makes our weaknesses strong, who removes our shame, who recruits us into be ambassadors of Christ. It's only then. You see, a lot of these big people, like if you think about, you know, the Mother Teresa's and the Billy Graham's and all that, right? They didn't just become Billy Graham overnight. They just started simply doing good things for other people. And now this was not because like, I'm going to do good so I can be saved. No, this is the faith that God had within them. Because they were cleansed, the Holy Spirit prompted them to do something good. They filled their time with good works. And as a result, many people were impacted. I'm not saying that you and I will be Billy Graham's. Maybe some of us will. Who knows, right? But what I'm saying is, God wants to do certain things through you. God wants to do certain things through me. And that doesn't start with overnight. It starts with doing the little, being faithful in the little. And so, church, let us serve Christ and do good works, living works that praise the Lord. And I want to end with a song. I love music. So for me, I always look back to the music. But there's a song, a very, very old song, a very old hymn that most of you guys probably know. And the verses here are just incredible. Well, a lot of times we just sing them and you know, we brush through them. We don't think about them. But I want us to go through the song together. The verse says this. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, you guys know the chorus, right? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now I want to go to verse. We know verse 1 and the chorus. I want to go to verse 2 because that's literally my sermon. Verse 2 says this. Are you walking daily in the Savior's side? Now what does the walking daily mean? Walking in the light, right? Are you walking daily in the Savior's side? Are you walking in the light? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? What does it mean to rest each moment in the crucified? Are we drawing near to God? are reunited with Christ. That's literally what the songwriter in 1878 was asking. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And oh, I want to go to the fourth chorus, or the fourth verse. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. So lay aside the dead works that lead us into darkness and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul within, which is, this is a fountain that cleanses our soul, our conscience, our body, our mind. It purifies us. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, young people, how important it is for us today in this Easter season. I know it's like 2 weeks removed already, or a week removed, but still, this is the point of Christianity, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's us being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that we might be washed by the blood of the Lamb. And the way we could do that practically is walking in the light. It's drawing near to God. Finding your own time, my time, to personally encounter and be with Jesus and be united to Christ and serving Christ and doing good things for the blood of like God has called us. Can we all rise? We're going to end with prayer. And I don't know where you're at in your journey with Christ. I know where I'm at. I don't know where you're at. But I want us to just think about this. Lord, here is where I'm at. I come to you just as I am. Lord, I want to get under the blood of Jesus. Lord, I want to serve you. Maybe I'm not walking in the light today. You could pray about that. Maybe I don't draw near to God like I should be. You could pray about that. Maybe I'm not united to Christ like I should be. I'm not fully in yet. I think I'm 80% in, and I try, and then Tuesday nights I'm good, you know, Sunday nights I'm good, and then Wednesdays I fall, or Thursdays I fall, right? Or maybe you're just, the next step for you is serving Christ. Maybe the next step is joining choir, right? You guys have a wonderful choir with a wonderful conductor, right? Joining choir, joining the team, joining the cafe team, joining the greeters team, joining, I don't know what other teams you guys have, but maybe it's doing that for the glory of God. And you're doing that not because of your faith in Christ, because you are under the blood. Can we all pray about that today? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you so much, God, for your mercy, for your glory, for your power and grace, God.